Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Thank you for listening. Tonight's show is an open mic show with my friend Felicia Reed. Felicia is she'll be our co-host. She's a trauma-informed recovery coach who has suffered the entire spectrum of abuse from the ages of 5 to 51. There was a point where she started healing and on her recovery process. Learning about using coaching and self-healing techniques, she saved her life. Felicia found Put It in Perspective, where she currently works to teach these tools to groups and individuals. In addition, she has worked in community service programs and a key volunteer and activist for youth and women, and serves on a cyber awareness forum to promote online safety. Felicia is a great gal. She's one of my favorite people to co-host with. She hasn't called in at this time, so hopefully she will soon. Anyone who would like to call in, the telephone number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially as getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Be a voice, be aware, be a hero, be brave. At this point, no one has called in, so I would love for folks to call in. Hopefully, Felicia will be calling in soon. In the meantime, hopefully other people can call in. Before anybody else calls in, I guess we'll talk about NASCA for just a little bit. If you'd like to know about NASCA, go to www.nasca.org. We have a wealth of information out there. We have tools. I'll just go through some of them. We have a Start a Recovery program. We have our calendar of events. We have an ambassador program. We have a mobile website. We have plenty of promotional tools. We have a current newsletter. Featured articles, news from the past. We have plenty of statistics out there. We also have a tab here that is all about recovery. if anyone has called in. 301. Okay, it's all about recovery. We have self-help groups, professional help, and all kinds of tools out there. So now I'm going to go back to the panel, and I assume the 301 is Felicia. I'm going to open this mic. Good evening. Is this Felicia?
Hi, it's me. Hi, hi.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi,
thank you for calling
hi.
In.
Yes.
When I pulled up the panel and I saw that it was you tonight, I got really excited because I know we are in for some Pollyanna perspective. And before we get started, I'd like to tell you I love that scarf that you put on LinkedIn. It's very colorful. Very nice. I really did like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sure. Let me share that number one more time. We definitely need some panel members to call in. Please, we know a lot of people do listen. We can tell that from the stats. And we do need the support tonight. And it's a very easy program to participate in. The number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. So, Felicia, we'll just go ahead and get started. It may be me and you for a minute, but people may call in, but we know we have a lot of people listen. We can tell, tell that from the stats. So why don't you get the show started? If there's something on your heart that you'd like to share, please do so.
I thought tonight that we would talk about our energy level and overcoming or managing exhaustion, especially during these absorbing times. And just wanted to see what everyone is doing to manage their energy levels and to treat themselves for any exhaustion or tiredness or heaviness that they're feeling. So that's what's on my mind and my heart this evening, probably because things are a little in that capacity for me. You know, I don't like to give energy to certain things. But, how's everybody overcoming with their energy levels that are draining during these times? So how about you, Tammy?
Well, you know, I just came off a vacation. I was super, super stressed. I've been on this job for not quite 2 years, a little over a year and a half, and I've taken no time off. And with a stressful job, because I'm over finance and human resources here at this club, and with, you know, the stress of that, the stress of having to lay people off through this pandemic, I just needed some time. So I did take a week off. So that's what I did to remedy my stress level. I know not everyone can take the time off, but I was long, long overdue. So I did, in fact, go home to Augusta, Georgia for a week.
I saw. So did you actually totally detach, or were you in those, I'm just changing my work location capacities, or were you able to just completely shut down and step away from your work?
Well, I was able. Well, I do try my best to compartmentalize my life. Mm-hmm. I've learned that a long time ago. Working a stressful job, a lot of times what happens is we think about the job when we wake up, we go perform the job, we deal with the job when we go home. Instead of paying attention to our family, we're thinking about the stress and the troubles of the job. And then lo and behold, you dream about it. Next thing you know, you are working 24/7. Because even when you sleep, you dream about it. So what I have done, somebody told me this a long time ago, picture a set of Chester doors where it's, you know, you've got the Chester doors where you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drawers, 5, 6 drawers, whatever you have. And I told somebody this today at work is what I try to do is I put it in that drawer. You know, when I'm dealing with NASCA, I need to be, you know, thinking about NASCA. So I've got my NASCA drawer open. When it's done, then I put it back in there. When I have my work, I have that drawer open. And when I'm away from it, I throw it back in there and close that drawer. When I'm at work or dealing with NASCA, and you know my family's blowing up my phone like my son did just a few minutes ago, you know, I try to put that in the drawer, but I never lock the chest of drawers because I learned a long time ago that I have to open those drawers, but I can't leave them all open. It's just like anything, it'll topple over.
It's going to tip over.
So that's the analogy. Yeah, that's the analogy that I use. You know, sometimes you just got to put it in the drawer and let it go.
Yes. Well, it's good that you were able to actually get away. You know, so many people, for whatever reason, they're not getting away. You know, from work, the kids, and we're definitely not getting away from the issues of today and everything that's going on in the world, not just our areas, but on a global level. You know, and just thinking about every, you know, whether we're going through it or someone else we know is going through it or we're reading about it or seeing it, hearing it, it can be tiring, and things are very overwhelming for a lot of people in both good ways and different ways, because I don't like to say bad ways, but in different ways. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can hear more about how do we overcome the demands of such a trying time, and even you know, it's harder for survivors. Because everything, we're dealing with more triggers and more memories, and maybe not the support, whereas some families are pulling together more so now than ever. You know, some of us are removed from our families, or we don't have families for whatever reason. You know, how do we manage our energy? I know for me, I keep different things around me that I can do. I can switch off, you know, from looking at work documents or just looking at a computer or electronic, period. Oh, my gosh. You know, to getting out in the yard and maybe planting, like, 6 trees like I did this morning at 9 o'clock. I was outside digging holes. For some rescue trees I was trying to get in the ground. And, you know, smelling that dirt and getting all scratched up by crazy branches and, you know, the hair's a mess, muddy, that was good. You know, that was like, okay, that helps me reset. And then, you know, go do what I have to do. Then I can switch to something else, like making my healing wraps or today I made some masks for a family member. I can switch off and on to different things, and that tends to help me, you know, manage the energy during these times. And in the past week, I have been impacted by 3 deaths. One immediate family member, an uncle, and then my son's uncle, and today a friend who was an associate, not a coworker, but we worked together. He lost, you know, he contacted me and said, I've got to change something. I had a death in my family. And so, you know, just in the past week, and I'm like, okay, if I know people are managing so much right now, and how are we doing it? So I have recommendations, you know, not only go on vacation like Tammy, but also, you know, try diversions, try quiet time, try sitting with the pain and the emotions and the grief and allowing yourself to feel, go there, but of course don't stay there. There's also, you know, let things go where we would normally hold on to or do them, you know, whatever we can you know, just leave the dishes for another 5 minutes or let the grass go another day, or maybe the dry cleaning doesn't need to go, you know, on Wednesday. It can wait until Saturday. So just be willing to sway like bamboo a little bit and switch up and really do self-care and self-nurturing. So those are just a few of the things. Do you have anything else, Tammy, besides vacation as far as, you know, managing a very difficult time?
Well, you know, and I have to share this with you. When I went on vacation, I actually went home to my hometown, Augusta, Georgia. I had to check on my mom. She's aging. You know, she's getting up there in age, and I had to go back to the doctor, and I wanted to see all my friends. But this is, you know, I actually stayed at my mother's house, which is interesting for me because my stepfather lives there.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, she stayed with him, and, of course, he's one of my abusers. And he's old, his health is failing. And so this is the second trip that I've gone home that I've stayed there and did not fight with them, did not become traumatized or triggered or anything like that. So that's a triumph for me. You know, I was able to go home, stay there. He stayed, you know, he was respectful in his way. I was respectful in my way. Used to when I went home, I wasn't home 10 minutes and we'd get into a horrible fight. I'd spew things, you know, especially as adult, you know, throwing, you know, things out there. And, you know, I'd end up leaving within 15, 20 minutes, I'd be out the door. And then my mom would have to call me, come back. And then, and it was just tense. But this is the second time that I was actually to get through it. So to me, that's a milestone to be able to deal with that because it was years. You know, I cut my mother off for 5 years. I wouldn't have anything to do with her. No, you know, she chose to stay there. I was angry. I had these feelings. So to me, that's growth. Not I don't recommend that for everybody, but you know, it is my situation. So you know, I was able to still go home, see my friends, and deal with everything, and not allow myself to slide back into those, you know, bad habits or you know, give into the triggers or whatever the case may be. I got through the triggers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they were necessarily your bad habits. I think it's just a response. And I read something, Elizabeth Kipps, who is a friend of mine. Her son is a trauma coach and a speaker and all these great things in the world. And he's been changing, you know, trauma disorder to trauma response and a narcissistic disorder to narcissism response, and he's just been putting that word response behind these conditions, and it's been making a lot of sense, not necessarily 100% to me, because sometimes we are in a, you know, people are in a disorder. It's not a response, it's a disorder, but that the word response resonates with me because, Tammy, for example, yourself, I mean, you were in this fiery situation and you could only, you know, visit, as you said, for 10, 15 minutes before you were, you know, out the door after your response. So, it's not a habit. It's just a response to what happened and probably some of that what was in you needed to get out. You needed to get it out. You needed to get it out. So, I'm glad that you had, you know, a peaceful family time. So that's another thing. Okay, vacations, family time, detaching, doing different things, changing up. And how about just healing? How about working on healing? Because normally, like you said, you know, you were able to stay, for the second time in a long time and just be and have peace and be in peace. And I cut you off, but you did say that you had done. That's an evidence of the work that you have done. So maybe when we get tired, there's some inner work that we need to do. I'm sure there is, right?
Right. Well, I think you made a very good point. Maybe I need to look at it a little differently. Back in the past, I needed to get it out. It needed to be said. Maybe it was part of my healing. But I'm down. I'm through with it. I'm done with it. As long as nothing new occurs, I'm okay, I'm at peace with it, my mother has made her choices to stay with him, and that's the way it is.
Did anyone ever apologize or own what they did?
Not to me. I think he did apologize to my sister. He never really apologized to me, and that's okay. He's not my main abuser. He was my sister's main abuser, but my main abuser was my grandmother. who is dead and never did apologize. And that's an apology that would have been more meaningful to me that I never got. So I've never gotten an apology from any of them, and that's okay. You know, I've moved past it.
Yeah, it doesn't define you. Yeah, it doesn't define you. You know, kudos to you. Congratulations and accolades to you for being able to be in that environment, be strong, and to have a loving heart, a huge heart to overcome their smallness or you know, their actions against you. So what comes to me now is forgiving. Maybe when we get tired, we need to forgive ourselves, or even if we're not tired, forgive ourselves, forgive others. You know, move on to higher ground, and it would be beautiful if everyone did work in themselves like you have, like I have, and like millions of other people have, because we, you know, we have found a benefit to healing, and we don't want to be like what was done to us. So tiredness, you know, tiredness is a good thing. It's a call for change. It's a warning sign to step away, take a break, diversify, go on vacation, spend time with family, let something go, let something in. But it's critical that we pay attention. And I want to just, you know, remind everyone also that for people like Tammy and myself, where we are survivors of, you know, I'm going to put the word horrific in front of it, horrific abuse. Sometimes all we have to do is turn on the news and we get tired. Like, whoo, can we please get it together, people? You know, this humanity stuff that's not human almost. So it's, you know, I'm saying all this, I'm rambling a little bit, and that's an indication of me being tired. But I also know that, I'm constantly working on myself and overcoming and taking care of me and giving me what I need, and that helps me to get through. That helps me to get through.
Absolutely.
I told someone today, put your oxygen mask on first, and that's something that we have had to learn to do, because normally when you are a survivor of abuse, you've been conditioned to put your abuser before you, their feelings, their wants, their desires, their emotions before you. So it's not until later in life that we actually learn to put our oxygen mask on first. And it's important. It's important that we do. So when we get tired, take a nap, take a break, go for a walk, shut down the hard stuff, do the easy stuff, and keep forgiving, even if it's forgiving self, because there is a huge surge in letting go, right?
Sure. Well, thank you for that information. That's some really, really good advice. I'm going to stop right there because we do have another caller. Mr. Bill Murray has called in. Good evening, Bill Murray from Florida. How are you?
I'm really doing well, Tammy. And, you know, I do check in on all the shows. And tonight when I checked in, I said, oh, my God, there's nobody there. So,
us too.
this is the fourth night in a row I've called in on that for that reason. And I don't know why people aren't calling as much as they used to. But anyway, I'm here. I did miss the very first few minutes, so I'm going to try to catch up a little bit. I got the gist of some of it, but I did miss the detail at the beginning. So I apologize for that.
That's okay. It was just me rambling on at first, and then Felicia joined me. I thought I was going to be here by myself for a minute, so thank God both of you have called in. I would have been reading a lot of the NASCA website and just jabbering on. I'm not quite as good as Carol is on that, because Carol, you know, that she won't miss a beat. She'll keep on going. So anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
No, you do fine, Tammy. Don't put yourself down like that. I've heard you do this kind of stuff before, once or twice.
There you go.
And you're great.
Once or twice. Well, I don't have to tonight because I have both of you here with me, thank goodness, and I really appreciate it very, very much. But like I said before, we know we have a lot of people who do stream in. We know that from the stats. If anyone would like to call in, we'd love to have you here. The number is 646-595-2118. And what Felicia and I were discussing are some of the things we can do to decompress and de-stress and get through these stressful times that we have, you know, with the COVID-19, with the riots that are going on and the protests. We've got the stress of the election, and we've got our own personal stresses of getting through our own personal trauma. And a lot of times it can be overwhelming. Some of the things that we've come up with, me, you know, just getting back on vacation, and Bill can attest to this, I was long overdue for a vacation. I needed some time away from everybody and everything, and I got it. So I'm refreshed. And Felicia had come up with several ideas as well. Bill, do you have anything that you'd like to share about, you know, what we can do to get through these our personal stress or these stressful times?
Yeah, what do we do, Bill, when we get exhausted or tired or, you know, just heavy like?
Well, there's an acronym, HALT, that I do pay attention to, and it's HALT. Don't let yourself get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And of course, tired is built in there. But all four of them are really important for me to maintain sort of my spiritual balance, you know, because if I get one of them out of whack, you know, I'm a little crabby. If I get two of them out of whack, I'm kind of in trouble. And three, look out world, you know.
Right.
So you know, these are small things. They seem like small things, but they really are meaningful. You have to eat enough, not overeat, but eat enough so that your body's not trying to, like, eat itself. You know, you have to eat well, but kind of balanced and stuff like this. So the eating part of it, you can't do without, and you can't do without the tired part. These are things you have to do for yourself. Nobody can do them for you. In other words, nobody can sleep for you and nobody can eat for you. So finding the balance in those two areas is pretty much up to us. And we just have to find what that is and try to adhere to it as best we can. Of course, there'll be times when you got to eat junk food. Okay, eat junk food. But most of the time, you want to give yourself nutrients, you know, things that your body actually will appreciate. And
yeah,
you have to sleep enough.
Great.
You know? The other two, angry and lonely, you can't do by yourself. You need other people to do those two things because, you know, anger is a – you can't fix your own anger, I don't think. You have to really share it. You have to share the issue. You have to figure out the issue but then share it with someone else who understands the process you're going through. And that could be your counselor, but it could also be your Facebook friend, or it could be the person on the phone call here, you know. and lonely, you know, again, we tend to, by our nature, isolate. And sometimes we have to force ourselves, literally, to get out of our own way by leaving the house, you know, going to something. You know, and I know COVID's put a little wrinkle on this, but frankly, these things that I'm talking about are true no matter when it is. They're always true, in other words. So that would be my first comment. Is that helpful? Is that the kind of thing you were looking for, Tammy and Felicia?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned, I'm not going to touch angry and lonely, but I will touch resting, you know, and eating. You know, when we get tired, it may be a sign of depletion, you know, especially in nutrients because adrenaline levels are different right now. You know, we're up and down. We're going through highs and lows, and that has a chemical impact. And so we want to make sure that we're not running off of, you know, adrenaline versus actual nutrition. And I guess you would have to experience that to understand it, you know, and I think Bill does because he has said before, like, he's had to remind himself to eat 3 meals a day because he's probably running on more so adrenaline than a full belly. So it's great that you brought up, it's great that you brought up nutrition and, you know, getting balanced as best we can for healthy food, snacks, and maybe a little sugar.
Yeah, right. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Yeah, pulse.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Yeah, there you go. And one of those hits close to home to you because your sweetie is not there feeding you those 3 meals a day, right, Bill?
No, she's not. She did leave me some sorbo. Sorbo is Portuguese for leftovers. And when Christina cooks, and she's a very good cook, she cooks too much deliberately. And so there's always sorbo. Well, she did this, unbeknownst to me, probably for the 10 days before she left, because I didn't realize it, but the back of the refrigerator is filled with stuff that she cooked. So I haven't yet run out of that. And
good for you.
So I am eating that. But I still, you still have to make sure that you, you know, make the trip to the kitchen and be willing to wash the dishes later and whatever are the processes that you have to put yourself through to eat, you got to do it. You can't, your body needs it. And my spirit needs it, because if I don't eat, I suffer spiritually. And that makes me, have the world around me then suffers if I'm suffering, frankly. So I'm actually eating for the world too, you know, and they always say you got to, you know, think about the starving kids in China. Well, there's something to that. You are on your better, with the better angels when you take care of yourself, and then you can be available for, you know, for others.
Yes.
Good.
So we have, Tammy, you have vacation, spend time with family, eat good, get rest, do different activities. Switch from heavy to light activities, have quiet time, go plant some trees. We got some good stuff going as far as how to, you know, manage our energy level, overcome exhaustion or tiredness right now, and to keep going. That's the key. We don't want it to become, to use Tammy's word, a habit of operating on a tired level. We don't want to be drained, you know. So at some point, something has to change where we stop. Like Tammy went on vacation, something has to change. We got to stop and then take care of ourselves and then move forward. So, all good stuff.
Well, Tammy, and we have somebody from Oklahoma calling in. I know who it is. And I put her name in there. But this gal moved 3 days ago. So she was from Texas until 3 days ago. And now she's back in her original home state of Oklahoma. And, of course, I'm talking about Roberta. So let's bring her on and get her involved so she doesn't drop off. Hi, Roberta.
Right.
Hello there.
Hi, Roberta.
How are you doing? Hello.
We're good. Well, thank you for calling us. I've got to remember not to say Texas and say Oklahoma. But welcome to the NASCA show. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
thank y'all for being here.
Sure. And I know you heard part of the conversation, but what we're talking about is what can we do to relieve stress in these stressful times? And we've come up with some ideas. Now, Roberta, if I remember correctly, you left Texas and went to your hometown, and you had to face some ghosts and some tough feelings, right?
Well, I still go through that, but I haven't even started with my new therapist here yet, and I haven't even began to open all the wounds. And, you know, I mean, I there's a couple of times since I've been here already, I kind of had a little bit of paranoia about certain things, I know that I don't have I decided about a couple of months before I left Texas that I didn't want to live in fear and I didn't have to and I wanted to have the courage to heal and I guess really you know, whenever you open up wounds and you're still in contact with a lot of the perpetrators and the abusers, and you know, I do have a little bit of fear, but I'll be just talking with my therapist, and I don't know if all the wounds will come open and it'll all come out, you know, the whole truth about everything, but at least, you know, I'll know that I've been able to talk about things and I've been able to release it, you know, and that'll give me relief, I know.
Roberta and I have been talking for a while now, and when she finally made the move, she called 2 days ago and said, well, I'm here in Oklahoma. I asked her, you know, because of the play, I asked her if the corn really is as high as an elephant's eye, and she laughed. She's that kind of gal. She's got a really good sense of humor and a sense of, you know, she's relatively new in recovery, and now she's going to be facing, as she knows, a new therapist and a new situation. She's actually not in her new place yet. She's in a motel temporarily while they get the place ready for her. But she's in really great spirits, and I think that's because she prepared for this move. And over the last couple of months, she's come a long way in her own recovery, and then the move happened. She's right on time with it. Doing great, Roberta.
Thank you. I'm just glad that I have this support because, you know, really, for a lot of years, I guess because I was just so, I don't know, I guess the after effects of the violence and the drugs and the people I was around for years and years and what I was born into and like I said, I haven't even began to open up to what was done in my early childhood, but I remember some things, but, you know, whenever things start to come up, sometimes it's like my creator saying, you know, I'm talking to my creator and I'm saying, well, maybe it's just not time for me to think about that. But I'm less fearful now, you know, because, you know, used to when things would come up, I would just get a real emotional and cry and get real upset. But now, you know, I was telling my creator in my prayers that I'm ready, but not all at once, and my creator understands whenever, you know, it's like my creator doesn't force things on me, doesn't force me to go somewhere I don't want to go, you know.
Or where you belong, yeah.
So Roberta contributed to the list of things we can do, you know, when we feel overwhelmed or tired, exhausted, and good stuff as far as going and talking to someone, even changing scenery altogether, not just a vacation, but really changing things around, and being willing, but also taking it slow. She said that, you know, she's ready, but she's not going to be wide open and tackle everything at one time. And that's something that you said a little while ago also, is that, you know, just take it easy, you know, wash two dishes versus the three dishes, or do what you can and maybe let things go a day or 2 days or however long, you know, you're comfortable with, and take on what you can, but not necessarily always what we feel we should be doing, because sometimes we should be doing nothing. We should be doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, sometimes what I do is sometimes a little pieces of something will come out, and then I'll say, well, I'll go back to it later if I want to go deeper into it, you know.
Yeah. So, Roberta, let me ask you this, for maybe it will also help someone who is in the listening audience or who will listen later. But you changed living locations, and you're about to embark on more healing with a new therapist. How did you go about identifying a therapist, or how will you go about identifying a therapist in your new area?
Well, what I was kind of told is that to just go and go. Well, first you have to go through the screening process to get into the to be able to get medicine and get a therapist. And,
yeah.
And I've got medicine to last for 2 months, so I have
nice.
2 months to decide where I want to go. But there's three places here that I could go, and I haven't decided yet. But what I'll do is I'll just go, you know, because I can pretty well I have good senses, and I can sense, you know, things pretty well. And I'll know if I need to stay there or not, you know, with that therapist after a little while. You know, I'm not just going to go one or two times and just say, you know, because I think that everyone deserves a chance to do their, you know, I don't think it's like, you know, it's kind of like people that go off of first impression sometimes, and it's not always like that, you know.
Mhm. Yeah. So staying open and being willing and smart enough or intuitive or wise enough to know, like, if this isn't working for me, I can change. I have options.
Mm-hmm.
Managing the frustration, because, you know, some of it can be frustrating where you spend time with one therapist and, you know, you know, they're not only helping you, you are helping them. So it's a relationship, right? It's a relationship because they need clients just as much as, you know, clients need them. But here's the thing. You're interviewing them, they're interviewing you, and if it works out, fine, great, you know, you'll continue on. But if it doesn't, you will exercise option B, C, D, or E, right? And just keep it going.
Yeah.
But you will continue to make sure that you get what you need. That's beautiful. And
the thing of it is that I want to get, I've never been able to open up about a lot of things. I never even had the courage to. And so after a while, you know, I think the therapist will need some courage too, because some of the things I'll be talking about is really, 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 is really, well, I can't even describe it. It's just something that, well, I don't know the word for it, but it's just, there's just, well, I just can't say what it is, but there's just some things that it's just probably, oh, you know, it's just, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to open up, and it'll be hard for me, and it'll probably be hard for them too.
Yes, yeah, and I'm so glad you said that, because we're all human, and that's like our first responders, you know, to bring them into the picture and things that they're going through now and seeing and hearing and feeling, you know. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that, even hearing your story and your history may impact a therapist. How beautiful is that? You know, we're in this together, right? So thank you for saying that, because, you know, therapists are usually trained by a book, or some are informed because they've been there too, or, you know, they have some experience or personal insights. But it is good to honor those who have to respond to what we've been through, so that, you know, so that there can be that support bridge. You know, you can help, they can help you, and you also can help them grow, not only in their profession, but also in personally, because some people are totally shell-shocked by some of our experiences, because they've never been there. They've never, you know, they couldn't even imagine that humans could be or do some of the things that they are or that they do. So it helps everyone, and I appreciate you saying that. You know, you're going to, you know, kind of take them into consideration and not just look for them to heal you. It's going to be a partnership, and that's key. Make it a partnership.
Yeah.
That you're going to be just fine. You're going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I am kind of afraid I'm going to get stuck, you know, because, you know, there might be something that I might get stuck on. I have that fear sometimes that, it's kind of like, you know, one time I was in this near-death experience, and I don't know, I might have died and came back, or almost died and came back, and, you know, it's like, you know, kind of like a coma, but a temporary coma, but, you know, it's kind of like that whenever you feel like that you're going to get stuck, in something, and I have that fear a little bit, but, you know, I'm not going to go in this with fear. I'm just going to take it one day at a time, you know, and just pray for the best. Pray for the best, you know.
Felicia, she knows, because we talked, that she's going to interview these several places. I've given her two tips. One is to right away tell them what she's bringing to them, as much as she can, and then be quiet and see what they say in response. The second thing is, she's looking for someone who's trauma trained or trauma informed.
That just
means that they are familiar with the issues of survivors. Some of them might be survivors. We don't know, but.
Yes.
Even if they're not, they've been trained to deal with trauma, which is a specialty in psychology. And between those two things, she'll interview the several people and pick what seems to be the best match. But she's not married to that person either. So she knows all this. And she's really entering into it in a sane way. I'm really excited for you, Roberta. I really am.
Yeah, I am. I am too. I didn't have the courage, and I thought, am I going to make it through? Because I was kind of, you know, jumping ahead and feeling all these things, having these overwhelming feelings, and I thought, well, you know, I quit doing that. That's what I was telling you whenever I decided that I didn't want to live my life in fear and that I wanted to have the courage to heal. But before I decided that, I felt like I didn't want to go through with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you put a lot of thought into it, a lot of planning, and that you're open, you know, to whatever happens or does not happen. And, you know, I just want to talk about the fear of getting stuck or having an obstacle or a block. That is okay. It absolutely is, because it's a caution. You know, maybe not to go down that path or to tread lightly. So I'm glad that you are honoring, you know, the feelings that are around what you're addressing. And if it doesn't feel good, maybe it's not the time, or a different approach from what you're taking or the therapist is taking. But just honor that. And if you get stuck, you'll get unstuck as you continue on in your healing journey. But don't give up. That's key, right?
Yeah, don't give up, yeah. There was one time I almost gave up in life and almost died several times because I tried to take my life one time and I realized that wasn't the answer. And I don't think, you know, I'll ever feel like that's what the answer needs to be ever again, because I decided, you know, that I want to love myself now, I can love me, scars and all, you know.
Yes, beautiful, and you have purpose. You know, I always encourage everyone when they start feeling indifferent about themselves or about life in general, just keep reminding yourself that you have purpose. And it's not always all revealed to us, because some things, I believe, just aren't for us to know. But I constantly tell people, I don't want to know everything, trust me. I just think some things, you know, I don't need to know. That's for a much higher power than me, because it's beyond me. But, you know, just constantly reminding ourselves, and this is good for everyone, I have purpose. I'm a yucky hot mess, but I still have purpose. There's some purpose in this yucky hot mess. You know, there's some purpose in what I went through, not what I went through, but what I survived. You know, so I'm sure that, you know, you have resources and, you know, outreach that you know you can tap into. And I'm hoping that anyone listening or that listening now or that will listen later, you know, please reach out to others, you know, to professional resources. If you start feeling like you don't have purpose, just make a phone call, make a visit, you know, try to get your esteem and your self-worth up a little bit, and stay here. Stay here as long as you can, because we are here for a purpose. So, Roberta, I
yes,
just appreciate all of your candidness and insight.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I appreciate you all being
you
here. And like I said, I'm glad that I have this support because I've never had really true support my whole life, and I'm really glad. Thank you.
Well, it's an honor to be part of your support system, and it's an honor for you to share with us. I know it's not easy, especially at first, but it becomes easier as, you know, as you get, you know, accustomed to, you know, dealing with other survivors. You know, a lot of times we think we're the only ones going through this, and then we find out there's a whole community of survivors, particularly here in the NASCA family. So thank you for sharing, and thank you for being part of our family. Speaking of
yes,
which,
who was that talking with me? No, the other one.
That was
Tammy.
Felicia who was talking with you earlier.
Felicia? Oh, Felicia. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Felicia.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Felicia is our co-host tonight. She's a trauma-trained informed recovery coach, and she is very, very uplifting and upbeat. So like I was telling Felicia at the beginning of the show, I always get excited when I see her name because I know it's going to be upbeat. It usually is.
It usually is. We're talking about, so tonight, Roberta, we were talking about, like, how do we overcome exhaustion and tiredness and, you know, how do we overcome? And you chimed in just perfectly. And normally Tammy and I are bumping into each other, over talking and running around, and the energy is just like woo. And Bill has to come in and say, "Okay, look." but tonight we're in chill mode. We are doing self nurturing. We're really calm. Tammy's just coming back from vacation. I'm probably in self-care mode. So it's beautiful how we're just flowing tonight, and it may seem like we're rambling a little bit and that there's no structure or not as much structure as we would normally have, if there's any structure, because we're usually bumping into each other a lot because we just got to get so much out. But, you know, I really, really wanted to take this time tonight, this evening, if you're on the West Coast, and remind people to just stop. Just stop. It's okay to do nothing. I don't care how long that takes, because, you know, the mind, the body, the brain has to process, and it can be overwhelming. And I mentioned to Tammy, you know, I brought up this topic because that's a little of what I'm feeling, you know, right now. If you call me tomorrow, I would say, okay, I got it. I got what I needed, so I'm back up. But, you know, we all need to just you know, take time out every now and then and really take care of ourselves. And that could look like anything. You know, I told Tammy, you know, I was outside planting trees at 9 o'clock this morning. And you're probably wondering, like, how in the heck is that taking a break? How is that taking a break? Well, it is for me. It is. And, you know, that's a different kind of exhaustion rather than the mental or the traumatic kind or the emotional kind. And I'd rather just go exhaust myself planting trees. So I did that, and it was a good break. It was a good break.
Yeah, you know, I missed the very beginning of the show, but I appreciate what you just said that brought us back to that, because one of the things that when I came in, we were talking about stress relievers and things we could do to relieve stress. And I almost answered it, had a different answer, but I'm going to use it now because, see, we live in a world where there's plenty of stressors. You know, mentioned were the COVID crisis, mentioned were the elections coming up, mentioned were the riots in the street and the violence and the videos of the cops and all this stuff. You know, that we see the fires in L.A. and the flooding in Texas and Louisiana. All these things contribute to stress. But
it's tired.
It's important to it's important and our own stuff. That's on top of our own stuff. But it's important to remember that if there's something we can't do about something, then we shouldn't do anything about it. In other words,
right.
If you can't do anything about it, don't do anything. And
mm-hmm.
there's absolutely nothing I can do to fix much of what I just said, for example. There are
right.
phenomena that are happening around the country that I don't have any control or power over.
Right.
And even in my own life, although it looks like I have a lot of control and power, the truth is I really don't.
You don't. Right.
I have some. What I have the power is the power of making a choice about,
right.
for example, taking an action or not. That I do have. And the point is that we tend to overcompensate for our low self-esteem and our not having done enough and our guilt about wherever our life is at the moment. We try to overcompensate it by fixing it instead of just letting it be what it is. So what I say is you know, there's an awful lot of the world that you have to just accept. It's a place of acceptance. And yes, there are things we have to do, but don't do them in this super energetic state that we typically
mm-hmm.
do. Do an adequate job at a moderate pace. Do the things, but do an adequate job at a moderate pace. Don't try to be a superhuman, which is kind of natural to us. To compensate.
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
So my answer to the stress thing is it's a constant need for us to re-surrender to the way life is and to let it go and to remember that we have only a small amount of power, really. And we have the responsibility to show up for our own lives, but not to approach it like we have to fix everything by 3 o'clock this afternoon, because we don't.
Right.
So
right.
if you can do those two dishes, do them.
Yeah.
And put
yep.
them and walk away, and
right.
and get some satisfaction, even though there might be two or three more still left in the sink. It's okay.
Exactly. It's okay.
You've made progress.
Exactly. And
yeah.
Bill, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was thinking that very thing today. And, learning how not to be a fixer is something I wish I had learned like 30 years ago, really. I mean, literally 30 years ago would have been a great time to know that I don't have to fix, that I can't fix people. I can't fix much of anything. Like you said, I can make a choice about or concerning the way something is, because it just is, and it's a lot of what I have to deal with. And as far as my own recovery, I can't do anything about the actions of other people. You know, I can make police reports. I can, you know, go through the court system. I can do that, yeah, but it's a choice to do that. But I cannot control their actions. And that's critical to embrace. I went away. Well, I had to put my son back in school last weekend, and I came home, and someone had thrown trash at my front door of my home, and it was intentional. They had taken a bag of trash out of my receptacle and used it. I just cleaned it up. I washed down the porch real nice and, you know, did some prayer. And so much of that is growth, and that I didn't get angry. I'm like, you know, this is something that someone else did. I don't have anything to do with it. It has very little to do with me. And I just said, oh, well, not that I'm liking it, but I accepted that is what happened. My part and my choice was to clean it up, bring peace, bring love, bring light, you know, not spin up a whole bunch of anger on my front doorstep, under my beautiful porch, and just realize, you know, that just shows who people are, and I'm going to show who I am by not cussing out the whole neighborhood, you know. So
yeah.
I love how you said it's a choice.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's where the power is. It's not in the result. It's in the effort. The power is in the choice you make to put some energy into something, but not the result. And if we put the energy into something, like I say, in an adequate amount, in a moderate way, and then let go, usually we'll have fairly good results. But I don't count those as being mine. I learned all of this when I, you know, as I've been, and I'm still learning it, but on my own spiritual pursuit, that those belong to God. They don't belong to me. The results are not mine. So if I'm result motivated, I'm coming from the wrong place. I need to get my satisfaction from having taken the action in an appropriate way, and that's it, but not the
making
results.
The best making the best decision that you can, and that's where I came from. You know, like I just think this is a godly thing, and I'm just going to clean this up and let him take care of, you know, doing his part, and I'll do my part. I'm not saying that I don't have the emotion of anger or disgust, but I'm just not going to let it exhaust me when there's nothing I can really do about it. You know, why be angry about trash being on the porch when I can use that energy to just clean it up? And,
well, you know,
and
some
let,
of us are addicted to that anger. You mentioned it before, the adrenaline of it.
We're
addicted to it, and we think something's wrong unless we're zinging around. You know, I remember the first time I felt something different, and I've shared this before, but I told my sponsor, he said, "How you feeling today, Bill?" And I said, I don't know. He said, "What do you mean you don't know?" I said, "Well, I don't really feel much of anything." And this was unusual because I'd been angry and depressed and blah, 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 you know, for weeks. And he said, "Well, maybe you should think about the fact that we pray for serenity at every meeting." And I went, I didn't even recognize it when it first came to me.
But that's
what being serene is.
Yes.
It's being at peace and calm.
That inner peace. Yes. And not much gets resolved in anger other than, you know, more damage or more anger or regrets or remorse. And I felt so good just cleaning up the trash. I mean, I really like, this is just so good to me.
That sounds great. And then, of course, you probably sat on the porch and looked around and went, "This is a nice porch, you know."
What a lovely porch! Love and light.
Right.
Yeah, and it's so much easier. It's so much easier. And there are just different ways to, I don't want to use the word different ways to overcome things. And I choose peace and love and light, and I don't have to, you know, do too much about that other than to make that choice.
Right.
So I want to recap things that we can do to, overcome tiredness or heaviness or exhaustion or stress. And Tammy started right off the bat with vacation, family time. We went into forgiveness. I mentioned having different activities like nature or crafts, and just doing nothing. Bill contributed, eating and getting rest. And Roberta chimed in with, get some help. So we got good stuff coming out of tonight's show, Bill.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's all Tammy's fault.
Yep, blame Tammy. That's okay. I'm in good spirits, so I can take it tonight. I would like to mention, Felicia, you said that we normally step over each other, and sometimes we do, but that's just because we get so excited and we both want to share.
I know.
Yes. And we've had some very lively shows between you and I, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Like I said, when I see your name, I smile.
Yes, and that was the intent for sure, to say like, "Ooh, we're both in chill mode tonight." So, usually we're just so excited and we have so much in us. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it depends on the panel, too. Roberta brought in a beautiful spirit of calmness, and Bill's pretty calm tonight. So sometimes when we get those fiery panelists, and then, with the law of attraction being what it is, T,
Tammy and I are like, ooh, let's jump in this too.
Exactly.
And, you know, we have a good time, and we learn, we share, and we walk away, and we're like, ooh, that was so good. So tonight we bring, you know, our calmness and nurturing, and it's just beautiful how the universe lines up, and Roberta is on the panel, and she brings the biggest thing: get help, change your location, change something, shift, be willing. So Roberta, you have contributed in more ways than you know.
Thank you. I'm glad I can.
Well,
yes, thank you. I'm glad I'm still alive. I'm glad I'm still alive and that I've survived a lot of near-death experiences and violence and abuse and everything, and sex and drugs and all kinds of repeated things like that for years, that I'm still here and I'm still sane.
Yes, how beautiful. What a testimony. And Roberta, something that I have personally been doing that has been helping me, especially with seeing the violence, you know, for minorities or women, more so today than ever, I have been just randomly selecting people like yourself, and I'm a survivor too. I've been through the worst, from 5 to 51. I don't know if Tammy did my bio when before I came on, but you know, I've been there with you. And so I have been randomly selecting people like yourself. And here's what I have been telling them: Roberta, from one human being to another human being, and I've never seen you in person, I've never hugged you, I've never been in your presence, but from one human being to another, I apologize for what other humans put you through, did to you, inflicted upon you, or left you with. So just know that, you know, there are people who do care unconditionally. We don't have to be friends. We don't have to be family. We don't have to, you know, be anything but human. And when I do that and when I say that to someone like you or like me, it feels so, so good. So I apologize from one human to another human for your life experiences.
Yes, I'm thankful.
Absolutely.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I've been learning to apologize to myself. I've been learning to apologize to myself for, in a way, for not nurturing myself now, you know, because I'm afraid to even love myself and nurture myself sometimes. I'm afraid to get close to me. And, you know, but someone told me one time, they said, just be you, you know. Just be you, you know. And that's what I like to be. It's just me and real, you know.
Yep, just be you.
Yeah.
And remember to, you and anyone who is listening, remember to love yourself.
Love yourself.
A lot of times, you know, with survivors, you know, we pick, especially us who endured beatings and, you know, mean things and being called names, when our abusers or may or may not be in our lives still, we pick up the baton. We tend to say those mean things to ourselves. So we've got to remember that those people who abused us does not have the right to define us. And we certainly don't want to continue their legacy of abusing us. You know, remember to love yourself. Remember to tell yourself good things. You know, humble confidence. Make sure, I told my sister the other day when I went home, I said, why not me? You know, we were talking about something. She said, you're doing that. I looked at her, and just right off the tip of my tongue, I was like, why not me? And she looked at me, and I said, that's my new motto. Why not me?
That's new.
You know, I'm just as good as anybody else.
Yeah,
that's the new Tammy. I'm just as entitled as anybody else. I deserve good things just like anybody else. I deserve good, healthy relationships just as much as anybody else. Just because I was beaten and battered when I was a kid doesn't mean that I have to forfeit any good in my life. I don't have to.
I agree. And, you know, and that's another beautiful contribution for this evening, is that being deserving to even rest or to reset and restore And I want to get back to something that Roberta said. You know, she has to appreciate herself, or she's working on appreciate herself. And one thing that I always tell people to try, Roberta, is get in front of a mirror, butterball, butt naked, and just shake your booty and say, "I love myself," over and over and over again. Get that energy going. Get that energy going, and you just be in total self-acceptance. I don't care what you have physically or what you don't have physically, but just get in front of a mirror and just have fun with it and love up on you. And then you can put your clothes on and walk out the door like it never, ever happened, and that's between you and the mirror. But definitely do some mirror work, and you can put, you know, like sticky notes on your mirrors, and I love my lips, and kiss it. You know, just be with you and project that in that mirror, because it'll be what is returned to you. So do the mirror work. It's called mirror work. And get in front of that mirror and just, you know, if you pump up the music, or, you know, if you feel that way, or you might be in a zen mode, then sit down in front of the mirror and just be like, I feel good about me. You know, whatever you're
sometimes I might feel like that I'm going to break the mirror, though, you know.
It's okay.
No.
Yours.
What you need to do is... What you need to do there, I go stepping on y'all. I'm sorry, I got excited. Get in front of the mirror, like Felicia said. Turn on some music. Put on Mary J. Blige, Fine. That's on Mary J. Blige, Fine. I'm telling you, it will put you in. I listen to it all the time. And when I'm down and depressed, I'm going for Mary J. Blige to remind myself that I'm just fine. You know, I think she's got one verse in there. I like what I see when I'm walking past the mirror. You know, it doesn't matter if we're, you know, if we're overweight or if we're, you know, beautiful or ugly. We need to be able to like what we pass the mirror. And so that it's a good tune too. It's a good one to dance to. So there you go. Pull out the Mary J. Blige.
Yep. So overcoming is getting in front of the mirror and shaking your booty and just love it up on you. That's how you can overcome some stress.
Thank you.
Well, we've got about 15 minutes of talk time, you know, a couple of minutes just to close the show. We've had a pretty good conversation. Bill, do you have anything that you'd like to share on shaking your booty to?
Well, I was just thinking about this, and I'm not so, I don't know, I'm kind of excited. No, I did some mirror work of the type that she's talking about, get buck naked and shake around in front of the mirror myself recently. And, you know, I like me. It's, you know, I have a lot of faults, but, you know, and probably the only person that's ever going to get excited about what I saw is me, if I did. I'm not going to get anybody else excited about it, but, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with what I see there when I do it. I think that's the object is to, again, it's about acceptance and letting go. And, you know, if you want to improve your body, you can, but this is not something you can instantaneously do. You can't snap your finger and lose that weight or I don't know, whatever, you know, you can do it, but it's going to take time. And every little thing that you do towards that is a success. And that's kind of how you have to look at it, I think. I mean, I got myself a doctor recently, and I went and got weighed, and I weighed 202 pounds. And that's down 30 pounds. And I was consciously trying to lose, or I was trying to, not lose weight, but eat better. And Christina and I have been she's been helping me with my diet a little bit too. And I haven't really suffered, you know, and yet I've lost 30 pounds. And who knows, I might be able to lose another 20. I don't know. I still have a gut, and that'll never go away because that's where all my weight goes. It doesn't go in my arms and my legs and butt. It goes in my gut.
And it's yours, and it's beautiful. What a beautiful gut.
It's mine, you know.
Yeah.
Well, no one ever tells me that, but so thank you very much, Felicia. I appreciate that.
This is something to put the plate on. When you're sitting in the recliner, you put your plate right there on your belly, see?
Yeah, exactly. I can let my cell phone, my belly hold my cell phone on my chest.
Yeah,
and
when I was carrying my son, you know, that the pregnancy was great for a book holder. And, so, you know, bellies have purposes, you know, and guts have purposes. So it's we're here and we are the total purpose.
I got scars on me, some of them really big, and I got,
yeah.
You know, I only have one testicle, which most people know, so that looks a little weird, because I had testicular cancer 20 years ago, which I survived and defeated.
Woo-hoo.
But, you know, these are consequences of living, and, oh, well, you know, it's okay.
Yes.
I mean,
we're human. We are human,
yeah.
And this is the human. This is part of the human journey. And, you know, when we see ourselves more human than a superhero or something that somebody else wants us to be, we can self-define ourselves. So my thing is like, I'm just human. That's it. That's all there is. And, you know, I stay in self-acceptance. You know, everyone has something that they don't like about themselves. And sometimes those things we don't like about ourselves are the very things that someone else likes in them and vice versa. So guess what? We're just going to be human, okay? Everybody's just a human being.
Well, I don't know if anybody's going to like how my neck is starting to look. I don't like it. Getting older. And I got a little bit of a turkey neck happening, just starting, and I'm losing a little bit of hair. I don't like those things, but I accept them, you know. The point is that up until this point in my life, for 65 years, I'm 67 now, for fully 65 years, I had every hair on my head, and, you know, I'm not an ugly guy, and I've always known that. I'm an okay-looking guy. So who am I to complain? You know, who am I to complain?
Right. No complaints. We're not taking any complaints about no appearance, no capabilities, no complaints. We can only accept improvement. And improvements for you would be a toupee and an ascot.
No, not going to ever have a toupee. It's okay.
There you go.
And, you know,
I dated a guy, judgment, but I dated a guy who came to pick me up, and he had a toupee, and it freaked me out. I think he would have looked better without the toupee, even with the hair loss, as long as they don't have it, you know, long in the back, you know, and whatever floats your boat. But I just, all I could think is, this is a pretty decent looking guy. Who cares if he's balding? He probably would look better than the toupee. Be yourself.
This is the way God made me, and I'm fine with it. In fact, I'm delighted. I really think, you know, your body is your temple. Well, the temple I was in was pretty cool. No. And it's lasted me a long time, and I don't intend to go anywhere. But, you know, fact is, I have to accept that I am getting a little older. That's another challenge. But it happens to everybody. And, you know, that's just where I am in life. So I'm pretty
every
happy
day.
Is the point, I guess. Yeah, and I'm grateful for everything I've had and everything I still have, and I'm looking forward to, you know, tomorrow as well.
Yes. Yes, stay in gratitude and acceptance. And, you know, if you want to do those workarounds, I recommend it. You know, they're available for you, the ascot and the toupee, if you ever feel like, you know, that'll help you a little bit. Have fun with it, you know. Just enjoy life. Have fun with it.
Okay.
Well, I like what Felicia said. You know, the thing that we may not like about ourselves may be what is attracting someone else. That might be, you know, what somebody else
you know, likes about us or envies on us and envies about us. I think we all have things we don't like about ourselves. But, you know, when I was home, I have to tell you, working, you're being an active advocate, we run into people, you know, that reach out to us all the time. My running buddy, when I went home, and I won't mention her name, but she was my main running buddy, has been for years. You know, we were at her house. We were having a good time, just having a really good time, indulging. And she basically, she had told me a little bit about her story, but boy, she just poured it on me. And, and all I could do was hug her. And, she was so angry at herself, and she blamed herself. And she didn't understand that, some of the things I told her, because she had endured sexual abuse, something she didn't even think of. She was beating herself up and hated herself because she was so guilty because of what happened to her felt good, And I said, and I had to tell her, I had to remind her, that a lot of times unless it's, forced, the act of sex feels good. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 50. You still weren't responsible, but, I could just see the pain in her eyes. We hugged, and then we hung out a couple of days later, and she thanked me and said, Tammy, I didn't even think of about that way. Thank you. But she had just tortured herself for years, and it was an honor to be, to be able to help my friend, who trusted me. We hang out with the same people, and for her to trust me with that secret and that piece of her life and how she felt about herself, it was an honor to be able to to give her a different perspective.
Yeah, that's great.
Bill, were you about to say something?
Oh, I was going to say that was great that she trusted you like that.
Yeah. So, and what I took out of that is sometimes we have to remind other people to love themselves, to give themselves a break. We're not perfect. A lot of times, especially when we put down, we try to be perfect. A lot of our survivors, you can't do anything right. You don't do this, put down. And then we find ourselves, if we make a mistake or if we have a flaw or if we do this, do that, we just torture ourselves and we don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to remind people, you don't have to. That's all. Any thoughts?
I totally agree. So we can add that to the list of overcoming. You don't have to add that. You don't have to the list of overcoming and managing stress and dealing with tiredness and you don't have to hold things in. You don't have to let things out. You don't have to whatever doesn't feel right for you until the time is right. And Roberta also brought that element to tonight's discussion as well. You don't have to until the time is right, and that goes to her saying, sometimes she may feel stuck and about divulging information or energy around what happened to her, and it's like you just don't have to. So do what feels good, what feels right, what is good for you. Maybe that's what I should say. Do what is good for you, not what feels
right.
good, because sometimes those feel-good things are not necessarily what's good for us.
Right. Exactly. Well, we've got 6 minutes left, probably about 5 minutes of talk time. It gives me a minute to close the show. I want to end with Felicia, but I want to go to Roberta and then Bill. Do you have any final thoughts? And let's start with Roberta. Roberta, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, I'm just glad I was able to come and listen tonight. And I'm just really looking forward to continuing with the support and everything. And I just want to say to people that listen, who have listened to me, and if they've listened to me before, that if you've never reached out, to not be afraid, and if you're in a place where you're afraid, to just don't lose hope, and always know that you'll get in a place where you'll feel more free to be able to get the support you need.
Okay, well, that's That's some good thoughts, especially for folks we know are streaming in. Thank you, Roberta. Bill, do you have some final thoughts?
Well, the thing that bothered me about what you said recently was that, you know, you can feel good from 5 to 50, and I hardly even remember 50. I'm wondering. and that was referring to sex, so that's the joke about it. I don't doubt that it's still, I mean, you know, and guys are different, I guess, than girls too, but I don't know. Overall, my life is, that's one component of my life, but my life is so full of other things. I try not to focus on that one thing too much, especially when I'm staring in the mirror. I like that discussion tonight, though, and I appreciate the fellowship bringing it up. That was pretty funny.
I'm glad you got a release.
So thanks very much for a great show.
Thank you, Bill, for that. Felicia, we've got about two and a half minutes. If you'd like to make some final thoughts or address the audience with some final thoughts.
So I want to thank everybody for showing up, having a great segment, very, very informative. Without it being scientific or theory, you know, not heavy, but just common sense things. Take a vacation, spend time with family if you can. Get some help, eat right, get in front of the mirror, shake your booty, do some planting, some coloring, some crafting, pay attention to what feels right, what doesn't feel right, and take a step back and realize that you don't have to do anything, be any way, or control things or fix things. So great stuff came out of tonight. Roberta, I want to personally wish you well in your new endeavors, your new environment, and may you have the best therapist ever that just gets it from the get-go. And the two of you have a great partnership and a great healing adventure. And may you always remember that you have purpose and that you belong here, okay?
Thank you, and I'm glad that I no longer have to suffer in silence.
Nope. No more.
Woohoo.
So that's about what I had, Tammy.
Okay. Well, thank you all for sharing that. Thank you for your final thoughts, Felicia. I'll give some final thoughts. Roberta, like I said, it's an honor to have you here and to be part of your healing process. Anyone who is listening, take note of the bravery that Roberta has. Don't suffer in silence alone. There is help. There is support. And it's easy, and it's healing, and it's refreshing. So if you're listening, please, please call in sometimes. We'd love to hear from you. It's been a really good show, very Pollyanna. Thank you, Felicia, for being here and co-hosting, and thank you for calling in, Bill. I really appreciate it. And I'd like to also thank Bill for the time off. I was not on the air any last week, and I took a break from everything, so I feel much, much better. I can tell my perspective is a little bit better. So I would like to tell everybody to please join us tomorrow night. It is a special guest, Dr. Rob Kelly. He is from San Antonio, Texas, and he's an addiction expert, and he's an author. So please join us for that. And let's see, that's all I can think of right now. We do have a couple of seconds. I think Carol is going to be hosting the show tomorrow, so please call in and support her. And I'd like to end the show with saying God bless the children of our world, God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Thank you all for being here, and good night.
Night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.